You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Let me just say, wherever God has us, who was it was saying, I think it was Kelly, said she likes God adventures, called them God adventures. And I do too. I mean, as I get older, I don't like them as much, but some ways, but I want to like them more. but wherever God has us, in, you know, our journey, our sojourning right now as a congregation, wherever we're moving next, we don't know where that is yet. And it's, what, a month away? Is that right? A month away. Let me just say, it's great. It's going to be great. And it's all for the gospel's sake. It's all for the sake of the good news. And help me yell it. It's Habsorah, Sean. Habsorah? Habsorah is the gospel? Okay, so the God for the gospel in Hebrew. That's what I looked up. Is, you know, of course, the good news. But really, Paul says, and I'm just going to start here. It's not, just read Philippians 1. Paul says, I love this. I chaplained a mission ship when I was young. I must have been in my early 20s. I don't know how I did it, but they made me chaplain of a mission ship that went to Haiti and then to Honduras. We couldn't get into, we went to mostly Roatan. We couldn't get into Honduras because I think it was the Sandinistas boarded our boat and started shooting guns everywhere. It was pretty scary, but we were young. We didn't know. But there were like 35 people on a Norwegian vessel that was built for the cold weather, and so we never could sleep down below. We'd always have to just grab a piece of foam and sleep on top. It was interesting. But in that time, I'll never forget, you know, what would happen was on the sea, the ship would break down. And this happened a number of times. It was an old vessel, and it would just stop working, and we'd be stuck. And I was the chaplain, so I had to bring some sort of, you know, calm to everybody, you know. But we were going through the book of Philippians at the time, so I always remember this wonderful verse, verse 12, Philippians 1. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the good news and the furtherance of the gospel. I think King James was, New King James. The advancement of the good news. The word in Greek, if I remember right, scholars in Greek, you can correct me here, but I think it's prokupto or something like that, prokupto or prokupto, and it really is the pioneer advancement. This wasn't what I'm planning to speak on, so I'm not really had to get a chance to look it up afresh. But I remember it had to do with, like, if you're in a picture, you're in a jungle, and the guy leading the way, going through a jungle with a machete, like cutting in front. And that image always stuck with me. Everything that happens to us, like as we live for the Lord in our travels, is for that purpose. It's actually to magnify Yeshua, Philippians 1:20, to make him known. And, you know, and isn't that great? I mean, that's what we are here for, the good news. The message of Yeshua's death and resurrection, that I can have eternal life, have my sins atoned for, have eternal life, that one suffered in pain in my place, and he won. He came out of it and resurrected. Isn't that amazing? We have that message to share with people. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And so think about it. I mean, if your sword has gotten dull, if you, you know, like mine has sometimes, if you're not, you haven't been sharing your faith with others, you think, people already know because we're in the buckle on the Bible belt, you know. Everybody knows. No, I mean, and depending on where you are and your God has you. But listen, wherever we end up, part of the reason is that you're going to have, I want to have a big push for wherever you end up to invite others in your circle of influence. Invite others. And let them know. So this is a good opportunity, something new, something different, location. And that's what Paul says here. This is amazing in this chapter. You know, I love it. Just read a few more verses here. Philippians 1, as I said, verse 20, he says, my eager expectation. Of course, he's in prison, you know. He's in prison for the message, for carrying the message. And he says, my eager expectation and hope is that in no way will I be put to shame, but that with complete boldness, Messiah will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me, to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. For me, to live is Messiah, and to die, it's even better. It's even better. Whatever he has. And verse 25, he says, I'm convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for the sake. And this is that same word, prokopto, to the pioneer advancement of for your faith, for the joy and your faith. That he says, I don't know, you know, if God takes me home, if I live or I die, but he said, God showed me I'm going to stay a little longer. I actually had a dream, woke up this morning with a dream and was in some tears just remembering, excuse me, remembering a Jewish pastor who had a big influence in my life, who was a mentor to me in my younger days, wanted me to take his place at some point before he was retired, and I was too running all over the place to settle in, but he worked for another denomination, but he had a Messianic congregation, one of the first in the Philadelphia area, and it was just a very faithful man, never had a huge, you know, matter of fact, he was more like a stopping point for a lot of people. A lot of people like came, were there for a while, and then moved on, you know. But he had such a ministry in that city. And I was crying because I didn't know when he had passed away. I'd kind of lost contact with in all the years and found out afterwards. And I said, man, I would have been there. And I would have been there and shared. I would have shared something if they, you know, I definitely would have wanted to. But I don't want to talk about his name, but I'll tell you privately. But but you know, Paul says, I'm in jail, and if God takes me, I go. But I'm good either way. But I'm here, and God showed me I'm going to stay a little longer because He has a purpose, and it's all for the gospel, all for the good news. And that's why all of us are here in some way, to share Yeshua, that others might know Him. And so David in this chapter is, in 2 Samuel 1, of course, he is mourning the death of Saul and Jonathan. And I'll get to a few. I do have to say, because I put the slides in, okay, shift here. Go ahead, Alex. There we go. Congratulations to our women's Warsaw. It's a real shift, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you. Did anyone watch any of the games? So not too many. But anyway, I did. I even went on the road. I found a way to record. But they were amazing and showed such cohesiveness, such courage, our women's U.S. soccer team, taught us a lot, I think, about facing adversity and overcoming. And so congratulations to them, World Cup champions. And yes, equal pay, I agree. totally. that's all I'll say. All right, so here in David weeps and fasts over the death of both Saul and Jonathan, and he gives a powerful eulogy three times, how the mighty have fallen. he left their judgment in the hands of God as we should of people. And years later, he'll take their bones and give them a place of honor in 2 Samuel 21. So Saul started out so well, but he didn't finish well. And I think I'm not going to go into all of that, but let's go to in verse 11 and 12. In verse 11 and 12, David tears his clothes, and his men do likewise. They mourn and they weep and they fast until evening for Saul, Jonathan, and the troops of the Lord and the house of Israel. There it is. And then this, remember, a young man had come to them. Let's see. I guess I will have to back up a little bit. David has returned to Ziklag. Bruce said that they just discovered where Ziklag is. Where's Bruce? Bruce, you here? Bruce? There he is, back there. He said they just discovered where Ziklag is. So I'll have to, really fascinating. I didn't know. So David's returned to this. This place is where Saul gave him to stay, remember. And he's exhilarated after successfully rescuing their families and possessions from the Amalekites in battle. It's still burnt down, but at least they're reunited together and healthy. And God has answered. A disheveled young man arrives from Saul's camp and approaches David, the leader. "How'd it go?" David asks. And he thought, perhaps Israel had won. I would think he was thinking, maybe Israel had won. Perhaps Saul had been victorious over the Philistines. And he still believed, this is the amazing thing, he still believed the best about Saul, after all Saul tried to do to him, that God would be with him, he believed. And so it's emotional. He says, what was the word, the Hebrew, mehayahadvar, what was the word, mehayahadvar, and then hagenahli, tell me please. It's emotional. And he's given the account by this young Amalekite, Israel has lost. Many have fled and died, and Saul and Jonathan are dead. And so David's in shock. Picture it. He has no idea. And so in this account, there's two different accounts in this verses 1 through 16. It's a different account of Saul's death than in 1 Samuel 31. Remember, the two books really should be one. So which one is accurate? In 1 Samuel 31, Saul asks his armor bearer to kill him, and then he commits suicide. In 2 Samuel 1, Saul asks an unknown Amalekite to kill him, which he does. Is he lying, the Amalekite? So perhaps the truth is a combination of the two. Saul dying after falling on his sword is finished off by the Amalekite. His armor bearer thought he was dead and killed himself. But Saul, not going, got up leaning on his spear, and then the Amalekite kills him. Possibly this is what really happened. So David, in verses 11 and 12, he tears his clothes, and the men all do it, and they're mourning and weeping for Saul, Jonathan, the troops of the Lord, and the house of Israel. And he says, why weren't you afraid? You weren't afraid, he says to this Amalekite, to destroy the Lord's anointed. God's Adonai's anointed. Twice he mentions it. You weren't afraid. And David would not do it. Remember when he had the chance to do on two separate occasions with Saul, he wouldn't kill Saul. 1 Samuel 24:6 and 26:9-11. So now, David chanced this lament over Saul and his son Jonathan, and he orders them, and this is that beautiful lament. And the word, listen to this, this is, if I don't give you much more today, I want to give you this. This word for chant or lament is, the root is kanan. See if you can get that a little further. Alex, go to the next one maybe. Alex? Yeah, oh, thanks, she's trying to find it. It's not that one. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. That's all Saul's excuses. I'm not going to go into all that stuff. Yeah, about Saul, what he... Keep going. There we go. Thank you. Stop right there. All right? Let's say kanan. I had to dig to this because it wasn't... Most of the sources give you a different root for this word, for lamentation, for kanan. But that's... The kanan is the root. It's not another one. I want some of the other ones they give. And it means... It says in the Hebrew, it reads really, it would translate, he lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan. And this word really means to protect or to shelter. In no way did David rejoice over Saul's death. Quite to the contrary, he's completely torn up over it. It's genuine sorrow over the one who had caused him unimaginable suffering. You would think he would have been relieved that his relentless persecutor was no longer alive. He's no longer a hunted fugitive. He can return now home to Israel and become king. You would think David would start singing, "Ding dong, the witch is dead." Da, da, da. How many love The Wizard of Oz? Gotta be my favorite movie. All right. But instead, like Proverbs 24:17 says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, nor let your heart be glad when he stumbles, says, that's what Solomon says. He calls Saul Israel's glory. And the word tzava here means swelling, beautiful, splendor, swelling. The mighty, giborim, overpowering. No bitterness or resentment, but to the contrary, grief and lamentation. David's heart was like God's. Remember, 1 Samuel 13:14, I found a man with a heart like mine. Heart after me, key, the preposition, a heart like me. He'll have a heart like God. And believing and speaking the best about Saul, as the Lord does with you and me. We don't judge people before the time. Paul says, don't judge before the time. 1 Corinthians 4:5, Matthew 7, Romans 2, and Romans 14:4, you know, James 4, many verses on don't judge, make prejudgments. Rather than judgment, show compassion and concern. Only God and three people here are omniscient. Is that right? Only God and three people. Raise your hand if you're one of those three. Only God is omniscient. He alone is the righteous judge, right? HaShofet HaTzadik, the righteous judge. God does not see us in our sins. He sees us as we are or as we can be, if we're not believed, through the righteousness of his Son, the Lamb slain. So for now, I like what John says, abide in him, 1 John 2:28, so that when he appears, we may have confidence rather than shame at his presence, at his coming. In other words, reward or loss, because it will be. There will be reward or there will be loss for the believer. But now, we're as believers, abide in him. Many verses tell us how God blots away our sins. He hides casts our sins in the depths of the sea. Through the death of Yeshua, of course, all because of the substitute, of the one who atoned for us, who was our korban, our sacrifice. He's not treated us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the so far as he removed our transgressions. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad? I am so glad. That's how far. And Corrie ten Boom, right? She used to say, God put a sign there in the depths of the sea. It says, no fishing allowed. Right? Remember that one? No fishing allowed. Where God's put our sins. I will be merciful toward their iniquities. Their sins I will remember no more. Hebrews 8:12, quoting the... Now, I want you to just mention, regarding suicide, if it's happened in your family or to a friend, I can't begin, and you can't begin, to fathom the pain that you faced, if you faced it. And we do not judge. Never. Never. Rather, comfort. Only God knows the ultimate whys, and we won't know till we see him. And what happened prior to death? Even at death, and he knows what happens after death. So bring words of hope in Yeshua, no matter what the case is. I remember someone saying once, and he was a scholar, a biblical messianic Jewish scholar, and I respect him, and I love a lot of his material. Used a lot of it earlier years, but I'll never forget. He talked about his. I hope you don't know who he is. He talked about his father's death. And he kind of shocked me. He said, my father's in hell. And, I just thought, wow, we don't know. And now I believe in a hell, no question about it. There's a fiery judgment. There's going to be, I believe in all of that, of course. But we don't know what happens at someone's death. And just before, we'd never know what transpired. There's so many miracles, aren't there? Divine visitations. Someone you say that's been hardened, it's not. Now, yes, can I harden my heart so it's impenetrable, so it's beyond point of yes, that can happen beyond point. But we don't know when that is for a person's, So I would never make that judgment. Never say that. We were at a someone's, I'm just going to say it this way, we were at someone's graveside, Jewish person that super close to me, and I never knew if they made a profession. You know, they didn't, as far as I knew. I knew they were a brilliant person and struggled with faith. And I said, I felt so sad. I felt, oh, this person is not with the Lord, you know, because for a believer, we know 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:21, to live is Messiah, to die is gain. We believe that, to be immediately going to, there's no soul sleep, there's immediately the person, consciousness in the presence of the Lord. And I didn't know it, and I just felt really sad. And Francis and I were there at the graveside, and it was a very morbid situation. And then it was like out of nowhere, this gust of wind came up. I mean, it was just totally abnormal. It wasn't just like a wind. It came up and swirled. You know, reminded you of like Elijah, the whirlwind, and just came right to where we were. And it was like, everyone was like, what's going on? All of a sudden, and then just went away. And it was like, I just felt like that was the Lord saying, this person did come to know me. You know, there I revealed myself. You know, it's, there was a certain point. Because this person was a very, you know, wonderful person. And did, you know, would do anything for any for anyone. And, you know, but anyway. But struggled with faith and had shared it. So we don't make that judgment. And Paul said, and Samuel says, tell it not, verse 20, look at this, tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in Ashkelon streets over Saul's death. Lest Philistine daughters rejoice, lest daughters of the uncircumcised gloat. towns of Ashkelon, Gath and Ashkelon represent all Philistia. They were the major cities. The daughters were the women that would celebrate in victories with song and dance. He says, David speaks only well, even inflatedly, in swelling terms of Saul. Blows me away. When we speak badly of another family member, rather than cover, we give occasion to the enemies of God. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers up transgressions. Proverbs 10:12. A gossip reveals secrets, but one who's trustworthy conceals the matter. Proverbs 11:13. And Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers up the offense seeks love. Whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. And again, that needs to be understood, of course, in context. But the word cover, kasa, means to withdraw from sight, to keep silent about, keep back from the knowledge of another. So in Judaism, you know, there's many doctrines, many principles I wouldn't agree with, but I tell you, I agree with Lashon Hara, right? Lashon Hara. I always say it wrong. Lashon Hara. Let's say that. Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, evil speech. And we keep confidences. I think, Sean, you were sharing about that once with me recently, not too long ago, how wonderful that is. You agreed with that, and you've seen that practice in Orthodox Judaism. David laments with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan. In other words, he protected and he sheltered both of them. Wow. If I have an issue with someone, Yeshua said in Matthew 18:15, your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault while you're with him, with everybody else there. Thank you. Alone. Now, if he listens to you, you've won your brother. If it's a danger to others, of course, we know if it's minors or something like that, then go to the authorities involved. Needless, that's very important to say. But Noah's sons, when they found their father intoxicated and compromised, Ham spoke about his condition to his brother Shem and Japheth. They publicized it according to the rabbis. They rather took a cloak, tzitzit garments, say the rabbis, and they laid it over their shoulders and walked backwards to cover him. Genesis 9:23. Talking about it to others rather than acting regarding it honorably. It's easy to just talk about a problem, a mess up. It takes integrity and effort to do something to remedy it. Amen? Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses regarding the Cushite woman. Remember Numbers 12, and God defended him, and Miriam and Aaron broke out with Tzaraat. to next slide, if you would put it. Yeah, there we go. So I guess that's all I got for it. They broke out with, so that's someone called leprosy. But Joseph, when Joseph learned of Miriam's pregnancy out of wedlock, rather than disgrace her publicly, Matthew 1:19, he made up his mind to keep her condition a secret. He didn't tell everybody. He didn't speak evil of her and broadcast her sin out of reaction because he was hurt or embarrassed. What a godly man he was, Joseph, with Miriam, Matthew 1. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says regarding the power of speech, never let a word of wickedness leave your mouth. When people speak derogatorily about others, their spiritual awareness and understanding are withdrawn from them, and they fall from the love of God and descend into animalistic passions and desires. I like that. Paul says it this way, let no harmful word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building others up according to the need, so that it gives grace to those who hear it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So what an example. And I'll finish with this. David says in verse 26 of 2 Samuel, he says, one, I'm distressed for you. The word tsarli, he says, the word from tsur is compressed, pressed from all sides. More than the love of women, the deep friendship of the two. Oh, he was so devastated over Jonathan, his dear brother, his friend. Amazing friendship they have. And let me just be very clear about that, just in case you've read anything, heard, this was not gender dysphoria. David was not transitioning. There are no homosexual implications here. David was saying that Jonathan's love was entirely spiritual and totally selfless. Amen. Entirely Messiah-like. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others more important than yourselves. Philippians 2:3, that was Jonathan. Amazing. Looking out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. That's Jonathan. Have this attitude yourselves, which is also in Messiah Yeshua. Jonathan helped make David into the man that he became. Amen. No question about it. That selfless sacrifice, that Messiah-like love helped David become that. And that's why I had us read 1 Corinthians 13, which we won't read now because of time, but in responsive reading, 1 Corinthians 13. Doesn't seek its own way, God's love. It keeps no account of wrong, bears all things, endures all things. David never mentions in this eulogy, Saul says nothing of Saul's attempt to kill him. Father, we just thank you.